How do people actually shake their heads when I get my easel out? You know, I don't know what that's about. I'm going to do a two-part series on marriage and relationships. This is the first part. And just a couple things to acknowledge up front. I realize that some of you have been married for a very long time, much longer than I have. And I want you to know that as a pastor, I feel like I'm put in a position where I'm asked to teach what's in the Bible. And that means that there are times when I haven't fully understood it. It's not fully a part of my life. So when I teach on marriage, I think I have a good marriage, but I think I'm still growing in my marriage. And so I'm not standing up here saying, let me tell you all, this is exactly how you do marriage. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to teach you biblical truths that I think we're all trying to live into and trying to understand. So that's really my goal here today. And if my wife were here, she would say, these things he does well, these things he doesn't do well. And I'm thankful she's not here to say that. I didn't ask her either. I didn't ask her to come, Rick. Here's what I want to do. I need for us to come to an understanding of how God views marriage for us to really look at next week. And I have about 18 minutes to do this, so I'm going to do my very best. I had two scriptures. I don't have time to do both of them, so I'm just going to do the one. It's from Matthew chapter 19, so it's not the one in your bulletin. I realized that I wasn't going to have time to do all of that. The first scripture, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount teaches on marriage and divorce, and he talks about the nature of that. And that actually inspired the Pharisees to come to him for this next passage in Matthew chapter 19. And here's the context of this. The Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus, and they're trying to trap him because marriage and divorce are one of those sticky issues theologically in the Bible. There's so many things in there, it's unclear, and there were so many schools of thought. There were two polar opposite schools of thought in Jesus' day with a lot in between. And here's the one school of thought regarding divorce. The one school of thought was that you only divorce when there's marital infidelity involved. So when there's some kind of a sexual dalliance outside of marriage, then that's when you get divorced. The other brand of a group of people on the far side said you can get divorced for anything. So there was literally a group of people in Jesus' day who believed that all you had to do was say, I divorce you three times and you were divorced for anything. Have you ever counted to three with your kids? It was kind of like that. So, you know, he doesn't fix the back. Well, no, actually it was the men doing this. It wasn't the women. So she burns the eggs and you say, I divorce you. That's one. You know, and she doesn't do the laundry. I divorce you. That's two. We're on two now. You know, and then with your kids, sometimes you go 2 1/4, 2 1/2. You know, you kind of drag that out a little bit. So there were all these different feelings about marriage. So they come to him and they ask if it's lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason, because they believe that no matter what he answers, somebody's going to be upset. And they're just going to stir it up. Jesus responds, and in his response, he teaches us about God's feelings about marriage. And that's what we're going to look at. So he says, haven't you read? He replied, by the way, that's kind of insulting to the religious people. Haven't you read your Bible? Don't you know what's in it? Of course they knew what was in it. He was making fun of them. So he said that in the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. Now, you don't have to be a theological genius. What book of the Bible is he pulling this from? Genesis. Yes. The Creator is a pretty big clue, isn't it? So in the very beginning, the Creator made them male and female. So here's what Jesus is laying out from the very beginning. He's saying, look, marriage is God's idea. Now, that's not thought of much in our culture. Our culture thinks that marriage is a human idea. And because of that, people go back and forth about whether we should have marriage or not, if we evolve past marriage, all that kind of stuff, right? Marriage was God's idea. And here's how I know for certain it was God's idea. Because Adam was probably in his early 20s when God created him to be a man, and Eve showed up. And I want to ask you a question. How many men in their early 20s see a woman in the garden, and their first thought is, let's get married? No. We're not going to talk about what their first thought is, especially when we know how Eve was dressed. Did he say that? It was God who thought of marriage. He created man, he created woman. He says, you two are going to get married. Now, Adam didn't have a lot of a choice because there wasn't another woman. And Eve didn't have a lot of choice because there wasn't another man. So, if you think to yourself, boy, the choices weren't very good, think of Adam and Eve. It was this or a zebra. So, he made them female, and it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. Now, that means he will no longer be under their authority. He will have his own, they will have their own household. He will no longer be under their command to obey his parents. I mean, you still honor them, but you have your own authority structure. And be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's the scripture. That's a quote from Genesis. Now, the idea here is certainly a sexual idea, one flesh. But Jesus comments on this so that we know that it's more than that. So, they are no longer two, but one. Now, we need to understand this a little bit better. So, here's what I'm going to do. Rick, would you come up here and play God for me? His wife isn't here, so it's safe. This is Rick Vance. And Dallas and Linda, would you come up here? See if I can do this without destroying my microphone. How many years have you two been married?
Forty-six
years, all right. So sometime... Oh, my microphone's coming apart here. I got to get this straightened out. Okay. Sometime 46 years ago, they came before God and got married, right? So would you take this? And what I want you to do is I want you to put this arm out, and I want you to put this arm out, and I want you to put that over top of them and then just not like tourniquet tight, but tighten it up a little bit. There we go. Just a knot in the tie. You can just tighten. There you go. That's good. Okay. So it says, they are no longer two, but what? One. Now, to further comment on it, it says, therefore, what's the word? God has joined together. Who put this tie on here? God did. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one put asunder. In other words, what he's saying is something happens in marriage that unites two people. Now, whether you're married or divorced or single or whatever, mostly if you've had an experience in marriage, you would probably agree that something actually happens when you get married. It may not be at the altar, it may be afterwards. There is a natural progression that happens inside of you when you get married. And God says that he joins people together and two people become one. Now, let me explain to you a dynamic, because this is really important and it's happening underneath of what Jesus is talking about, and that's this. For many of us, at least in our first marriage, if you have more than one, for many of us, when we got married, oh my gosh, where's Steve? There you go, Steve. I got another one right here. I had one. What's that? When we get married, We have with us a big I. And that, no, don't you touch that. That's his eye. And that eye doesn't represent decision making. It represents what I want. And here's why I'm saying that. Because how many of you as couples have had this conversation? Let's go out to dinner. Okay, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. You decide. No, you decide. Has anybody had that conversation before? Thank you very much. You know what I'm talking about. This is not about decision making. This is about what I want in life and in marriage, what I want, what my desires are. When we get married, we both bring into the marriage a big I. And now the trouble is, we are two people with two eyes who have become one person with two eyes. Can anybody see a problem with this? Has anybody lived a problem with this? I'm just going to give it a minute. This is working out well. So, this is how this develops in marriage. And then what happens is, somewhere along the way, you either hear a teaching or you begin to think or pray or whatever, and you say to yourself, look, my life can't be just about me. So I am going to learn to serve you. I'm going to learn to be there for you. This is a small I. Big I, small I. You with me now? Good. You mean I can't even draw letters right? Is that what you're telling me? That's an eye. Looks like a lollipop. I'm trying to draw for the people in the back. Alice, can you see that? Don't ask Alice. Y'all drive me crazy. I mean, just drive me crazy. Do I have to color it all in so you see it's a dot on top? All right, there you go. There's your eye. Now, her eye is bigger than his eye. Is that it? Y'all are just incorrigible. It's a little eye. Now, Jesus came, and this is what he said. I have come to serve, not to be served. So when you say, I come to serve, not to be served, which one are you, a big eye or a little eye? Not a trick question. It's a little lie, isn't it? When you say, I am here to serve you, that's a little lie. You're still a person, but that's a little lie. When you say, I came to be served, what is that? Thank you. Now we're getting somewhere. So, we start out marriage like this. Over the course of time, sometimes, often, you will see one or more person change. And sometimes you'll have this. Now when... stop that! When you have... my microphone's driving me crazy. When you have this, what does this do to this bond right here? It strains it, doesn't it? It strains it. When you have this, what does that do to that bond? It strains it. Now, I want you to check something out. Biblically, there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he was a little eye. I have come to do the will of my Father. The Holy Spirit came to serve. I'm a little eye. What's the Father? You guys have that picture in your head? Because I'm going to drop it in a second. We said it a minute ago that in marriage, God joins two people together. After he joins them together, does he leave them? Does he just abandon them? So who is also in the marriage relationship? And how does God look as three persons in one? How does he look? All three are God, and their relationship, God is the big I. He's also the little I because he teaches us how to serve. He is love. And the Son and the Holy Spirit are little I's. Do you see any pattern here? Anybody? So when both of you commit to saying, I will serve you, and we will follow God, this is what marriage is supposed to look like. Because any other picture of these two strains the bond between them. Any other picture strains it. And what's really hard is if you have two eyes and you talk about this and you say, look, I'm willing to become a little eye if you become a little eye. Do you like flip it at the same time? I'm flipping mine. Are you flipping yours? Come on, flip, 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 flip. This is tough, isn't it? The way this works is if both people are committed to their relationship with God and they say, I am going to be committed to loving God even more than you, and God has asked me to do this, and I am praying that you are going to do it too, and together we do this. By the way, interestingly, the Bible doesn't tell us to be committed to our marriage. The Bible tells us to be committed to our spouse. Big difference. You see, here's what I'm trying to tell you. The goal of marriage is not oneness. The result of marriage is oneness. When you get married, God joins you together. Then you got to figure out, what does it mean? And some of you know how hard that is. Can I get an amen to that? Now, one last word, because y'all really need to hear this part. Here's the first part of what I have to share with you at the end. All of us, from day to day, flip back and forth in our friendships and our relationship and our marriage between this and this. How many of you would agree with that? Sometimes there are whole days when we're like this, and sometimes there are whole days when like this. Sometimes there are minutes when we're like this and minutes when we're like this. Can I get an amen to that? We just all said we were sinners. That's what we just said. What we're saying is we need God's grace to help us to become servants. That's what we need. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. How many of you realize the truth, and maybe you've lived it, that some marriages have actually been torn apart? Now, here's the truth of what the scripture's saying. The Pharisees asked the question, under what circumstances can this happen? And Jesus is saying, don't you understand, when God puts something together, what it takes to actually tear it apart? And what he's saying is, divorce happens, it is just hugely painful because God, it's a tearing apart of what God has brought together. And he's saying, in the midst of that, please hear me say this. He's saying in the midst of that, do you remember there was a woman who's caught in the act of adultery, which means that she was probably married? And Jesus, when she was caught in the act of adultery, and all these people were accusing her, what did Jesus say? He chased away all the accusers. And then he looked at the woman and he said, where are your accusers? There are none. And he said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Why? Because God is the one who always provides grace. In the middle of pain and brokenness and hurt. And he's saying, look, marriage has a massive stickiness to it because God brings people together. And if you pull them apart, even if you're part of the people pulling them apart, it is hugely painful. And you will need grace to survive. Ask for it. And in your own lives, you will go through moments where you shift back and forth like this. And you will need grace. You will need grace for your marriage to survive. The other person shifting back and forward and you shifting back and forward. Ask for that grace. Why? Because he has tied you together. You didn't do it, he did it. You stood up and said some words, and you said them as fast as you could because you wanted to go eat cake and get married. I mean, go off the honeymoon. I can't tell you how many people are like, look, just keep this as short as you can. Can we do this in like 20 or less? Just make sure it sticks and then we're off, man. Open bar and honeymoon. And the reality is that they don't even understand what's happening. As a matter of fact, my Bible's down there. Let me grab it because I need to read to you this verse. If you're feeling the pinch or the pull of this, in Matthew chapter 19, and I didn't put this on here. You're almost done standing up there. I'll get you down in just a minute. In Matthew chapter 19, the disciples, when they were done this teaching, the disciples said this, if this is the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to get married. I mean, this is tough. This is tough. The joy of marriage is that God is the one who binds you together. The challenge of marriage is that God is the one who binds the two of you who are not always on the same page, who do not always want the same things, who do not always want the will of God first, together. And learning how to be one as two, God understands how to be one as three. And you are not alone either. He is the other person in the marriage, offering the grace and the love and the help. Let's pray. God, in all of our relationships, there are moments when we want what we want and we don't see anything else. And then there are moments when we are very free to serve and to love and to give. And at any given moment or any given day, it can just change for, we don't even know why. And so we need you. We need you to help us because in marriage relationships and in all relationships, we're called to love, and that can put a strain on things. Help us, especially in marriage, but also in friendships, to understand the importance of being willing to serve the other in the name of Jesus, and help us to call upon you regularly for the grace that we need when we know we can't. In Jesus' name, amen.